Presence precedes promise. Who said show? Was he? And this is in light of the amazing time we had with Milani and with Sunningdale PM. And some of you might feel, why is he still going on about 2 weeks ago? I just want to be faithful in terms of what I feel God has for us. And I want us as a congregation to respond in the correct way, just so that God can move us forward and he can do what he wants us to do. So for those who don't know, 2 weeks ago, we had Milani with us, who's a prophet in our context. And we had Sunningdale PM with us. It's another Josh Jen. Sorry. I just want to quickly say hello to Stefan Bagner. They're here from Bedarstorp. Glad to see you guys. Bagner. Sorry. So they came 2 weekends ago. They came and they did prophetic workshops with us and prophetic training with us. And we hosted them. And it really was an incredible time. And I really feel it was a watershed moment for us. Not a new chapter, just a watershed moment for us. And I was completely blown away by what God did in us and what God did through us. And this is what I said last week, and I'm just going to say it again, because like I say, I really want just to lay a proper foundation so that we respond in the right way. The prophetic words spoken over us 2 weeks ago, it was incredible. I did post it on the info group. I want to encourage you to go listen to those words. And like I said last week, and I want to encourage us on this, that God has a plan and a purpose, a destiny, and an inheritance for us as Josh and Weinberg. Do we believe that? that our inheritance is great, the harvest is plentiful, and I'm hoping last week and this week that we realize that we're not here to play games, we're not here just to kind of trot along and just do church and wait for his return. We're not just here to go through the motions, but he has an exciting plan for us as Josh in Weinberg. And I really want us to consider the things that he has for us. Milani mentioned that Jesus is asking us to believe him, to trust him, to have faith in him, to be a people of faith, to have boldness and courage and actually guts. So he used that word guts, which really caught my heart. God wants us to have guts. That he wants to do a mighty work in us, but also through us, into the southern suburbs. And I really want to encourage us to believe this, to grab hold of this. So in light of that, my question is, and as I mentioned this last week as well, how should we respond? What should our response be to this thing that God wants to do in us and wants to do through us? And last week, I preached on humility, that we should humble ourselves before God, that we should allow His Spirit to do the work in and through us. We can't do it out of our own. He built His church. It's for His glory and His plans and His purposes. But we should humble ourselves and allow His Spirit to come and just blow us away. And then the other thing I mentioned last week is that we should be a people who do not shrink back. We shouldn't shrink back, but that we should grab hold of what God has for us. And we should have faith in him. So this morning, I want to just kind of continue in that. I want to look at the Israelites coming out of the desert into the promised land. I want to look at Joshua, and I want to look at Caleb. So we're going to spend time in the Old Testament this morning. Just mix things up a bit, you know. So, after the death of Moses, if you don't know the story, after the death of Moses, God calls Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And then we read a very well-known scripture, which I'm sure has been quoted many times before, so just bear with me. It's Joshua 1, verse 5 and 6. Who predicted that? No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So this is now God speaking to Joshua in commissioning him to go into the promised land. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to them, to their forefathers to give them. And I know this is cliche and people use this for different reasons in different contexts and out of context and into context and whatever else context, but I really feel with Joshua generation, in light of the prophetic words that we didn't make up, that we should have courage, we should have faith that God wants to do a mighty work in and through us into the sound suburbs, I really want to encourage us to be strong and courageous, to have faith, to trust that God will work on our behalf and that He will give us the inheritance that He has for us. Not to shrink back. I said last week, I think a big lie that we believe is that it's not that we don't believe that God wants to do stuff. It's not that we don't believe that He wants to do a mighty work, but we believe the lie that He wants to use us. And when I say us, I mean you, personally. Each one of us, it's not me as well. That we believe, yeah, God wants to do a work, but He's not going to use me. And then we shrink back, and we actually don't trust God, we don't have courage, and we don't have faith. And I don't want us to shrink back. God is not calling us to shrink back, but to grab hold of the things for which God has grabbed hold of us, which I mentioned last week out of Philippians, that we will be people that grab hold of the things. And then the story continues in Joshua. Joshua sends 2 spies into the land to go and spy it out and check what's happening. They came back and they were full of faith that God can give them the land, which is incredible. So again, as we look at the sound suburbs and the giants and the strongholds and the challenges we face, let's look at them full of faith. Then we read in Joshua 3. So that was Joshua 1. If you read the story, in Joshua 3, we read how they responded and how they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. So the Jordan River was the boundary line, and they had to cross the Jordan River to get into the Promised Land. So this is now the first time, you know, God has promised them for years and for years and for years, I'm taking you into this land. Moses led them, Moses died. He commissioned Joshua. This is the moment. This is a big moment for them. Generations have died. And now this is the moment they actually cross into this promised land. Let's read Joshua 3, 14 to 17. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan River, the priests, this is important, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, went ahead of them. Just remember that. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So that just means it wasn't like a timid little river. It was a mighty river. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zaratan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah or the Salt Sea was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho into the Promised Land now, eh? The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And that didn't take 5 minutes. There were a lot of them. And as I kind of was preparing this week, I feel this is super important for us. If we want to see God doing what He wants in us, and through us, if we want to see the inheritance God has for us in the sound suburbs, in Joshua Weinberg, first and foremost, we have to be people of His presence. It comes back to that. We have to be people of His presence. The Ark of the Covenant that was carried by the Levite priests. So the Levite priests were the only tribe that could work in the temple of God. They were commissioned, set aside to be the priest for the nation. That was their inheritance. They were the only ones that could do certain functions and tasks within the temple or tabernacle. But today, who are the priests of God? All of us. All of us. The Bible says that we are now a priesthood of believers. We are living stones built into His house. Each one of us is a priest. It's not just for the few. It's for all of us. So that's the first thing. And then the Ark of the Covenant, that represented, if you go read how it was made, what it stands for, the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. of traveling with his people in the wilderness, guiding and protecting them. So we see the first person, or the first thing, people that goes over the Jordan is the priests with what? With God's presence. And that is super important. So first and foremost, more than anything else, if we want to see God use us, if we want to see God do a work in and through us in the Sound Suburbs, our heart's response should be, God, I want to be someone of your presence. I want to be, we, not I, so you want to be someone of his presence, but together as well, we want to be people of your presence. We want to walk with you. We want to know you. We want to experience you. And I just want to say this. God has more for us than what we think. Oftentimes, we get caught into religion. And like I said this morning, you know, the Pharisees, they read the scriptures, but they miss Jesus. And we don't have to. We can know God. We can walk with him. We can experience him. And we need to trust that the Holy Spirit will go from head knowledge to revelation in our hearts. That's what changes us. If we experience his presence as revelation, that's what changes us. Nothing wrong with head knowledge. So our heart cry must be, God, I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want to experience you. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence, he fills us with faith. And he teaches us not to shrink back. So let's be people who read his word. Let's find Jesus in his word. Let's pray. Let's worship. When we come together, let's make a habit to seek his presence together. That we be a people, one people, that carry his presence. The only way that we are going to see the inheritance of God, that God has for us, is we need to allow his presence to go before us. We need to be people of his presence that breaks the Jordan, that makes the things that seems impossible for us, they wouldn't have been able to cross the Jordan if God didn't intervene, that we'll see the impossible happen, that we'll see hearts change, that we'll see people come to the gospel, that we'll see people that are trapped in comfort and apathy and indifference in the Sound Suburbs with walls that are 3 meters high, that we'll see them come to salvation, experience Jesus, and that we'll see people radically saved. God wants to radically save people. And he wants to use us, each one of us, with our friends and families and neighbors and schools, and he wants to use each and every one of us. My throat's a bit sore, sorry. Okay. We see the same heart in Moses. If we read Exodus 33, 12 to 17. So just quickly context before I read this. If you go read the start of Exodus 33, God tells Moses, I'm not going to go with you guys. The people are stiff-necked. That's quite a hectic word. They are full of pride. They don't trust me. They don't want to walk with me. They moan and they groan about everything. I'm not going to go with you. So that's what happens in Exodus 33. And then Moses goes to the tent of meeting and he talks to God. And this is what he says. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you, which is what we want, and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And I love Moses just going, don't put the responsibility on me. You called them out of Egypt, and now you're saying you're not going to go with us. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's just make sure who takes ownership here. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else? What else than your presence? That's what he's talking about. Will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. And if you continue reading that, then Moses goes, show me your glory. And then God says, I'll let my goodness pass in front of you, which is a profound scripture as well. So Moses was saying, I would rather stay where I am. I would rather not see the inheritance that you have for us. I would rather not see you take us into the promised land and actually lose what you have for us than go without your presence. And I want us to have the same heart posture, that we will be a people with his presence, that we will seek his presence. That as, because God has an inheritance for us, but as we trust him, as we not shrink back, as we have faith and courage and guts, that we will do it, but we will be a people of his presence. Judges 2, so the story continues with Joshua now into the promised land, and then we read after Joshua comes, Judges in the Bible, then we read the following, Judges 2, verse 8 to 13. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Jeepers, who wants to live to 110? And they buried him in the land of his inheritance. He walked in what God had for him at Timnah Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. I've messed that up, I'm sorry. After that, now listen to this. After that whole generation has been gathered to their fathers, they passed away, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So after Joshua's generation, who saw what God did for them, who knew him, who walked with him, who saw how he took them into the promised land, they passed on, and the new generation did not know God, and they didn't see what he did for them. Then, and this is inevitably what happens every single time, they did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served Baals and idols and stuff. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal. And thank you. And I was reading that. I'm going through Joshua and Judges. Thanks for accepting me for who I am, guys. Love you guys. I was reading that. So at the start of the year, I read through Joshua. And then I'm now busy reading through Judges, and that shook me. I'm like, oh Lord, how sad it is that a whole generation did not know God, and they did not see, and they did not have faith because they did not see what God did for their forefathers. And I was struck in saying, God, I don't want to be a generation, and I'm sure it's we don't want to be a generation that miss out on knowing you and miss out on seeing what you want to do for us, right? We don't want to come back to Joshua and Wyoming in 60, 70 years and we missed what God wanted to do. We don't want to be people that miss knowing him and what he wants to do. And my heart is really that no one gets left behind, that all of us will grab hold of God, seek his presence, be people that know his presence, so that we don't miss out on what God wants to do, like they did. I want to end with Caleb. He was one of the, if you go read the story, Caleb was one of the 12 spies that was originally sent out to go scout out the promised land. All 12 came back, and only Caleb and someone else, they were the only two out of the 12 that said, God is with us. Yeah, God is with us. We can take this land. And this was, because of his faith in God, this is the blessing in which Caleb walked. Joshua 14, 6 to 9. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. Because Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two spies that came back full of faith. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. I love that. Do we have conviction that God wants to do stuff? But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. That was the other 10. I, however, listen to this, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Caleb received what God promised him. He received the inheritance that God had for him because he had faith. He did not shrink back, but he had his presence. He followed God wholeheartedly. And I want to encourage us as Josh and Weinberg, let's be full of faith. Let's believe God for what he has for us. Let's believe that God wants to do something incredible in the Sound Suburbs. He wants to. It was confirmed over and over again 2 weeks ago. And let's be people who live in his presence and that follows him wholeheartedly. Just like Caleb, so that we can walk in what he has for us, so that we can see salvation, so that we can see as we lift Jesus up in our own hearts and lives, and together, you'll draw people to him. People will receive his love and his grace, and we'll see salvations, and we'll make disciples, and we'll see what God has for us. But it requires every single person, if you're part of Josh 10, visitors, no pressure, unless you want to feel pressure. But it's every single person that's part of us that goes, I want to carry God's presence. I'm going to seek him. And when we come together, we are people of his presence. Cool. We're going to go into worship again, if that's all right. Let me just explain this. The reason we're going back into worship is not just because we think it's a good idea. I really want us to respond. I want us to go, I want to be someone, God, of your presence. I don't want to be someone that shrinks back. I want to be full of faith and like Caleb, convicted that you want to use us. And because of that, my response is I want to be someone of your presence. And we respond now, but obviously it's tomorrow morning, it's next week, it's next month, it's as we gather together in homes, as we have supper together, as we go for walks, as we reach out to the lost around us, we carry his presence. Isn't that right? So can we all stand? Just want to...